Okay, and welcome to this special bonus episode of Shockwaves. I'm one of your hosts, Rob G., and this is going to be kind of fun. We're doing a little, this is going to be a music episode, actually. Occasionally, I've done some music stuff with Ryan in the past. We did an episode devoted to the music from Scream. We did another one with the music devoted to Evil Dead, the franchise there. But this one's extra special because I have a special guest, the most special guest that I can get when it comes to soundtracks. You probably recognize him because he was on our very first episode. He was also on the Halloween bonus episode with me and Ryan, and he is my co-host for Two Dudes Talking, which is my other podcast, Mr. Tony Giles.
Hello, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing great, man.
Good.
And this is exciting because obviously I listen to your show a lot because it's where I get most of my music recommendations. And I thought it'd just be fun. You know, you're in Los Angeles now doing some work for Lakeshore Records.
Yes, yes.
And I wanted to utilize this opportunity while you were here to we do that. Pretty much I put you to work every time you come here.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been involved in Shockwaves every visit, one way or another.
If you come to Rob's, you end up recording.
You will
a podcast.
Do something. Yes.
So that's how it is. And I like doing these bonus episodes of Shockwaves. You know,
it's fun
to the show. I'm a big fan of the show, so it's fun to do this kind of stuff.
Right. And here's the deal. We even did a special extended episode of two of Tony's shows.
Yes, yes.
The Damn Fine Cast and Cuts from the Crypt. And it is,
I call it the Damn Fine Cuts from the Crypt, which is basically taking the DFC, which is just straight soundtracks, and then Cuts from the Crypt, which is a horror soundtrack show. So we took both of those together and we played some horror stuff. We played some non-horror stuff. We played some non-soundtrack stuff.
Yes.
But it was great. So that was a ton of fun.
Now here's the deal. Look that up on the Damn Fine Network, which is where Tony's shows are, because I specifically curated the music that we played there and the music that I'm about to play, right here, to complement each other. So technically you could listen to one or the other, but you should listen to both. And if you do, then this is part two.
Yes.
And I know that my OCD would never allow me to listen to something that starts at part two. So there you have it. And, you know, we had kicked off the other show with a little John Carpenter, so we're going to have to do that again here. And what I've selected, I think my favorite theme of his many themes is going to be Escape from New York. The Escape from L.A. soundtrack just came out on vinyl. You could get the expanded version of the original Escape from New York score on vinyl as well. But this is actually what's referred to as the Redux version. Basically, right before John Carpenter and his band went on tour, his band from the Lost Themes Records, which is his son Cody Carpenter and his godson Daniel Davies, they re-recorded four of his famous themes and released them as two 12 inches via Sacred Bones,
yes,
which is the label that puts out his solo records. So these are re-recorded versions of his famous themes. Now, this is in studio. So, I'm hoping and praying that there will be the live versions, because when they play live, they get the guys from Tenacious D to be their backing band.
Yeah.
And they are a killer live band. Like, they're so freaking good. So, I'm holding out hope that there's going to be a live album at some point. I feel like that's just inevitable. But in the meantime, this is the reduxed version of Escape from New York. From Sacred Bone Records.
Thank you.
That's good stuff. I never get tired of that theme. I want it to play while I'm walking down the street, quite frankly.
I used to listen to it, like, if I would drive late at night, windows down.
Yes.
Escape from New York, just do.
I would love that to happen. Dun, dun, dun. It's just great. And if you haven't seen it, go on YouTube and find the live video, because it's them playing it live in a studio, and it's even better than what I just played for you.
Yes.
But you actually, of those re-recorded Redux versions, there's one that you think is better than the original.
Well, I mean, it could be controversial here.
All right, let's get controversial.
I think that the redo or the Redux version of Assault on Precinct 13 is better than the original. Now, don't get me wrong, I love that original track. I mean, it's so simple. In its simplicity, it's just genius. However, these re-records, they have real balls to them because it's a band playing them. It's not two dudes in a studio playing synthesizers. It's a band playing music. So if you haven't had the chance to see John Carpenter live, hopefully he will go back out on the road so you can experience that. But in the meantime, if you haven't picked up these two 12 inches, run, do not walk, go and grab them. Sacred Bones, I'm pretty sure they're still available everywhere.
Yes.
And the Assault redo, I mean, it's real, it's bassy, it's meaty, it's got balls to it, you know. It's I'm a big fan of that, but also, I mean, Escape from New York is just it's a classic.
These are also, by the way, very easy to get digitally, because I believe Sacred Bones has all of John Carpenter's stuff on Bandcamp, and I bought this, I have the records, but I bought this digitally on iTunes. I literally searched John Carpenter Redux and it came right up, so that's that. And now this next record is one that I never knew I needed in my life. As Tony's been in town in LA, I've been making a lot of poor decisions, or maybe great decisions, depending on your point of view. This is one of them. He pointed out the Zombie 3 soundtrack on vinyl when we were at Amoeba, and I was like, ooh, Zombie 3, the one with the Filipino zombies jumping off a roof.
Yes.
As Tony said on your social medias, it's a film I think you should watch at least once in your life.
Everyone should just one time, just to say you've seen it.
Yes.
Because it's a trip, man. You know, it's not strictly Lucio Fulci, though. It's Lucio and Bruno Mattei. And if you've ever seen a Bruno Mattei film, well.
And sadly, it's 1/3 Fulci and 2/3 Bruno Mattei. So that really sets the bar. But you know what? I didn't remember the music at all, but this was released by, We Release Whatever the Fuck We Want Records, which I've always loved that moniker.
Yeah, fun title.
And it was limited, and I just lose control when I see limited. I can't get it at some point?
Well, there's a red version and a green version. Yes. Each one is 300 copies.
Yes.
So one is not more desirable than the other. They are the same.
Yes.
So the only difference is that the green version has the DJ skits in between the songs.
That's
the only difference.
All right. Well, I didn't remember this. This is a score by Stefano Minetti. Is that how you say it? Yes. But I'm glad I picked it up, because I'm going to play you the first track, which is Sequence 1. And I think it's kind of groovy.
It's good, right?
Yeah, it's good stuff. Here we go. We'll be right back. See, now you all need Zombie 3 in your life. I bet you didn't think that before you hit play on this episode.
Exactly. This morning I was jamming some Zombie 3, but I started with the songs because the songs are so catchy, and it's a trip of a score, you know. The score is good. It's like Italian horror music. You will recognize, you know, elements from other things. However, the songs, I want everyone to go and watch Zombie 3.
Yeah. And you know
what
I love?
That's the takeaway.
I kind of love soundtracks that have one side score, the second side, all the songs and stuff. So, no, this is good stuff. Let's see. So what else? Let's keep it Italian. I know for a fact that you've played this track on Cuts from the Crypt, let's play it again. For those of you that have not heard it on our show on Shockwaves, it's from Claudio Simonetti, and it is the score to Demons. Lamberto Bava's Demons, which is a pretty wild film that I really love. There's not enough in the demon subgenre movies, if you will.
No.
And I don't know, this hits that sweet spot of 80s synth goodness. It's like this and when the titles kick in for Return of the Living Dead, that little synthy thing, those are my two favorite like zombie demon synth pieces of music from the 80s. And what's cool is this was put out by Rust Blade Records. The initial pressing was limited to 666 copies. But now I've seen this floating around. There's a picture disc version of it.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to get. And, once you hear it, I think you're going to want to buy it right away. So here is the main, title. Ironically enough, Singular Demon is the title of it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
The great thing about the theme from Demons is it is so of its time.
Oh, yes.
But in that, it makes it perfect.
It's perfect.
I think it is the perfect theme song. You know, it's just the synthesized drums and the little melody and just Demons!
I will tell you a story, Tony. I had a date, or at least I thought it was a date, with a girl who had never seen Demons. We were picking a horror movie to watch for the evening.
Okay.
And I put it on, and as soon as that opening theme song starts, she's like, ooh, it's going to be good.
Oh!
And I was like, oh, you might be a keeper.
Yeah.
But sadly, there was no subsequent date, so I was not a keeper, apparently. But that's fine, whatever.
It's okay. You got to watch Demons.
And you know what? Here's what else I like about this soundtrack, by the way, is that all of the primary themes are on side A.
Mm-hmm.
And then side B is kind of cool because it's got demo versions of stuff. Mm. It's got a live version of the theme song. Basically, I feel like you're getting a couple of cool bonus tracks, even though it's curated in a way that it's a full album.
Yeah.
There's cool bonus content on here.
There's also a soundtrack for it as well. If you're out and about and you see the Demon soundtrack, make sure you are buying the score and not the soundtrack, because there was a soundtrack from when the film came out.
Good old metal bands.
It does. It has much like Phenomena, Had a great metal soundtrack. A great metal soundtrack.
Creepers. Creepers here in the States.
Creepers. Sounding. Actually, no, it is just called Creepers. Yeah, which is weird because the tracks on there are still called Phenomena. The opening track is still called Phenomena, but the album is called Creepers. You are correct. Demons does have a soundtrack as well, but it's not quite as good as Creepers. So if you are looking for the score, make sure you are buying the score.
Yes. And up next, I really wanted to take an opportunity to play some of my favorite pieces of music from recent films. And this is a movie that is really bizarre. I just learned that you had not seen it. But it is called Beyond the Black Rainbow. Mm. And it came out in 2010. Is the debut feature of Panos Cosmatos. And he is the son of George Cosmatos, who directed Cobra. And Rambo First Blood 2. And Tombstone. And so this is the soundtrack to his first film, who is credited to Sinoia Caves.
Yes.
So that is who did this soundtrack. What's interesting is if I'm not mistaken, he made this movie with the residuals from Tombstone.
I believe it's something like that.
There's some story that, the residuals his dad got for Tombstones, he was able to cobble together this movie. It is a bizarre sci-fi mind fuck of a movie that feels aesthetically like it was made in the 80s. Mm-hmm. But it's genuine. It's not like somebody that's trying to make an 80s movie and then it's like, it's bad because they're doing that on purpose. It generally feels like a movie out of time. And Tony had asked, but is it a horror movie? And I'm like, yeah. it's kind of creepy in general, in the same way that like Kubrick stuff, like 2001, has got weird shit going on in. Mm-hmm. But then for no rhyme or reason, the last 20 minutes are like a slasher movie. It's just really bizarre. But anyway, this music is absolutely terrific. I love the score. It's available both on vinyl through Death Waltz, and you could find it I bought it on iTunes as well digitally. And this is called Run Program, Sentienots. Check this out.
So here's the thing with Beyond the Black Rainbow.
Yes.
I hated this score.
Wow.
For a long time. And one of the reasons why,
call
me crazy, but when somebody tells me, oh, you are going to love this.
It's like they're setting you up.
It very rarely works out. Honestly, it very, very rarely works out. Now, when this came out, I was a Death Waltz subscriber, as most of the people probably listening to this were. And when this album came in the mail through the sub, I was like, oh, great. I hadn't seen the film. I'd heard so many great things about the score. Like, oh, dude, just wait. It's droney. It's proggy. Everything you love, this is the score for you. And I put it on and I was completely underwhelmed. And I just thought, wow, and I didn't listen to it for a long, 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 long time. In fact, I'd even put it to one side to sell because I just wasn't interested in it. For some reason, I'd forgotten that I'd put it to one side. And about 3 months ago, I was going through a box of records that I had in my spare room, and I found it, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to throw this on and see if my initial feelings towards it have changed. And I'm happy to say they completely changed, and I was completely blown away by by the score, which just goes to tell me that there are certain times when you have to hear things in the right frame of mind, in the right context, and at different times.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the favorite bands that I have now, I would never have listened to in my early 20s. I just wouldn't. Yeah. I wasn't into that music. I just didn't like that kind of stuff. Whereas now, you know, I really appreciate it. So I am happy that I finally took the time to sit down and listen to this score and probably rank it now as one of the greatest rediscoveries for me of like the last few years.
That's actually my method for new albums, like when bands put out albums, because it's really, you know, I always have trouble when I'm at a show and a band's like, we're going to play a new song, because you kind of can't make it. It's hard to get a first impression that way.
Yeah.
But what happens is I'll buy like the new Foo Fighters record or something, come home, I will listen to it in its entirety, not sure how I feel about it. Some little bits will obviously stand out. I'll listen to it again. Basically, I listen to a new record over and over again for about 2-3 days. Mm-hmm. Then I put it away. And then like a month later, because I guess it like subconsciously stays there.
Yeah.
You pick it up again a month later and put it on and you're like, I love this song. Exactly. This is great.
Yeah.
So I tend to do that a lot with my music picks as well. So I understand. I understand. There is no concrete way to enjoy music.
I mean, the thing is, because you and I, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners out there, listen to so much music and film music as well. Sometimes it's hard to differentiate what everything is. So I've listened to like 4 or 5 new scores in a day and I couldn't pick out which one was which.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a case of sometimes you have to go back.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's okay to put things aside and then pick it up a little bit later. Just because everyone else is saying, oh, it's a work of genius. Doesn't matter. You know, discover this music in your own time. And hopefully that's what I do. I mean, I know you guys do that with Shockwaves because you talk about new releases of older movies that I remember being garbage. And then I go back and I buy the DVD and I'm like, wow, that's a great movie. I really enjoyed that movie. And the same thing happens with the DFC and hopefully Cuts from the Crypt as well. I will talk about an album and people will be like, oh, you know, I kind of remember it not being that great, but that track you played was really good.
Yeah.
So I went back and I pulled it off the shelf and I rediscovered it. And now I'm really a fan of it. So, yeah, listen to music your own way.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, beware the hype. I guess hype is definitely it sets up expectations, I guess. That's another thing. People telling you, you're going to love this.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, that's a tough thing. So here's kind of an obscure one that I really wanted to pull out of my collection. Because I would imagine a lot of people listening to this have probably never even heard of this movie. I haven't even seen the movie. I only have the soundtrack and I've seen bits of it because it was showcased in the excellent documentary, Not Quite Hollywood, which is the wild world of, Ozploitation, Australian movies. And this is The Day After Halloween. Which was made in 1979, kind of an exploitation movie. It has nothing to do with the John Carpenter Halloween. It was actually released under the title One More Minute. There's also a title for it called Snapshot. So there's a ton of titles for this really wacky movie. And the irony is I bought this the day after Halloween. I was listening to music on Halloween. It was the day after. And I was just like, you know what? I really should have picked up that Day After Halloween record. Yeah. I'm going to do it right now. So I bought it on Discogs. And it is scored by the great Brian May, not of Queen, which for many years I thought they were one and the same. But there is a composer called Brian May who did a lot of Australian films, including Mad Max.
He did. You know, he also did one of the Nightmare on Elm Street. He did Freddy's Dead.
Freddy's Dead, that's right. So he's done a lot of cool stuff. This is his main theme for the day after Halloween. Again, I just thought it'd be something that a lot of you are not familiar with that you'd dig. So here we go.
Thank you.
See, I own the original version of The Day After Halloween. It was released on Citadel Records, which I believe was a subsidiary of Varese. It's not super hard to find. In fact, I think the original is easier to find than the Zomig Record Store Day release, which came out a couple of years ago. There's only 500 copies worldwide, and it was one of three records they put out that Record Store Day. All Ozploitation movies. The Day After Halloween, the original Australian name is Snapshot. When it came to the US, they retitled it The Day After Halloween. It was also retitled for home video, and it was called The Night After Halloween. So they literally just cashed in on the John Halloween. Carpenter thing. But Brian May is a composer, sadly no longer with us, but he does not get talked about enough. You know, the Mad Max scores, he did the first two, and they are the best two. Nothing against Tina Turner. You know, we don't need another hero, but... the great Brian May. I mean, it's one of those scores to one of those films you will probably never see.
Yeah.
But the record is something worth adding to your collection.
Yeah. You know, and I feel like one of those companies, it's like a Severin type company, is going to probably find this.
Hopefully.
This stupid thing you put it out.
Yeah.
I found it on Discogs. I had no problem getting it. It was a little under $20.
So. Yes. Yeah. The other two titles that were released that same year were the Patrick, the Australian film Patrick, a score by Goblin, also had an original score by Brian May, which is good. And also the Aussie vampire flick Thirst, which I do recommend because the movie's good. And the score is fantastic. So if you don't have all three of those, have a word with yourself.
I'm going to go in the corner and have a word with myself. All right. So this is exciting because I'm going to turn it to TV for a bit because there's a lot of exciting things happening with TV. And one of the biggest things right now is Twin Peaks.
Oh.
And, Death Waltz had been planning this for a long time, and they finally put these out on vinyl through Mondo, which is the Twin Peaks Angelo Badalamenti score for the show. And more prominently, something that I didn't appreciate until this vinyl release fully is the soundtrack to Twin Peaks Firewalk with Me. And it is, if you're watching the new iteration of the show, which is really, I love it. I only because, in my opinion, David Lynch is mixing up. There's nothing like it on TV right now.
True.
There's nothing like it. And for 2017 television, he is breaking the rules in the same way that the original Twin Peaks did when it came out in 1990.
Absolutely agreed. Yeah.
So at the very end of the day, it could end up being an 18-hour movie, which is his version of Inland Empire with Eraserhead meets Twin Peaks.
Yep.
And I'll be fine with that. But I keep hearing, and I'd like to revisit it because I've only seen the movie like twice, is Firewalk with Me plays very prominently into the new show.
It does heavily, yes.
Yeah, and let me tell you, Death Waltz did a great job with this release. It comes on like a cherry pie red vinyl. Mm-hmm. And I love it because it's very noir-esque and very jazzy. And, it almost feels like oldies of a different era, which is just perfect for the world of Twin Peaks. And, because this has been re-released on vinyl and because of the new show, I had to play a cue. I almost did the main theme because it's kind of like a slightly far darker version of the main theme.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But instead, I'm going to play the second track, which is the Pine Float, which is kind of a moody little piece. So here's a little Twin Peaks Firewalk with Me. Thank you. smooth.
I love Firewalk With Me. Yeah. I think I'm going to hold my hands up. I think I might prefer Firewalk With Me over the TV soundtrack. They're both fantastic. It is hard to pick a favorite. Oh. But recently, I've been finding myself listening to Firewalk With Me. And I have original version of the TV soundtrack, but the original Firewalk With Me was far too expensive because it wasn't available for a long time.
Yeah.
And since Deathwaltz have reissued these Twin Peaks records, the original versions have also been reissued. So if you don't want to spend the money on the deluxe double LP editions, you can just now buy the much cheaper single disc versions, which actually look exactly the same as the originals. So
that's cool. I
bought two versions of Firewalk With Me because, I mean, I love it, but I also find myself heading more towards the reissue of the original because it's only a single LP and I hate getting up to flip records.
Yeah.
And it sounds fine.
Yeah.
I will say that. But whichever way you slice it, the new Twin Peaks, it's not that I don't like it. I just haven't seen enough of it. The one thing I'm not a huge fan of is how every episode ends on a music video.
Yeah, that's kind
of
weird.
That really winds me the fuck up because I hate most of the bands that have been played so far. I am not even going to lie. I'm not a huge fan of the Chromatics, all that kind of music. I'm really not. So for me, it's all I'm going to say is
that is my least favorite part too. It feels like we're ending in Silver Lake or Brooklyn.
It does.
Every episode.
It's just like, it's been such a great episode. And I will say this so far, Wally Brando.
Oh yes.
That put a huge smile on my face.
There is no doubt in my mind that would be the child of those two people.
Wait. Talk about your perfect, perfect, perfect casting.
Yes.
And a perfect character.
Wally Brando is played by
Michael Cera.
Michael Cera, and it is, believe it or not, it is amazing. It is
It's been the highlight so far.
It's been a beauty.
It really, you know, apart from Denise, who I was a big fan of.
Oh, but, yes.
But Wally Brando has saved Twin Peaks for me at this point. So,
yes. And you know what? The other controversial thing about Firewalk With Me is I prefer Maura Kelly as Donna.
Hell you say.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. No, I don't like Garth and Boyle.
Really?
Well, I don't know if it's because she ruined the original show with her personal relationship with Kyle MacLachlan.
The thing with Twin Peaks, the original, talking about the original now, season one is perfect. There is nothing about season one that I would change.
Flawless victory.
Season two, there are many things I would change.
Yes,
it was far too long, and they literally ran out of ideas. Too many people involved, yada, yada, yada. But as far as I'm concerned, she is Donna. And in that first season, she's perfect.
She's pretty great.
Absolutely perfect. So, fair enough. Horses for courses.
Well, if Donna was going to come back for the new show, I'd rather it be... Because at least Maura Kelly looks more like Donna now than Bruce Lee.
Listen,
we're getting catty here. Yeah. I'm not going to
Let's just wait
comment.
And see what happens.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Keeming It With TV, this is a release that you guys at Lakeshore have done really great with. I'm talking about Stranger Things. And, I like when a show like this is as successful as it is on both fronts, both for the show itself, for Netflix, but also for the score, because if it opens up new people to soundtracks, the more the merrier.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And I really love Survive, the band that Kyle Dixon and Michael Stein are from. Mm. So they did the score to Stranger Things, and these are short cues. I'm gonna play the main theme for you because obviously I get excited every time I hear the theme.
Me too.
And then I'll go right into the next cue, which is Kids, and that'll give you a little taste of how the Stranger Things soundtrack starts off.
We'll be right back.
there you have it. And here's the thing. There's a lot of music out. There's two volumes. I know you've said a lot that you prefer volume two.
I do.
Because it's more kind of B-sides and alternate takes? Is that what the deal is?
A couple of reasons why I prefer volume two. One, because when we were making volume one, I listened to it many, many times. Because I was excited. I was a huge fan of the show, still am. And I plan on rewatching all of season one before season two starts.
Yes.
And yeah, when we started making the record, I was listening to the volume one religiously, almost, you know, a couple of times a day. And there are a lot of tracks because it's double LP. So when volume two came around, it was kind of like, ooh, it's new music from a band I love. That's what it was. So even though volume two, it definitely is music from the show. There's a longer version of the theme song as well. I just prefer it because it is a little bit darker as well, because in the second half of the season, it does get darker.
Yeah.
You know, when you start going into the Upside Down and you start exploring 11, you know, a little bit more. So I lean towards volume two, but whichever way you slice it, you know, Stranger Things is just, it's fantastic music. It reminds me of being a kid.
Yeah. And if you held out the deluxe version, is that already out or is that coming still?
The deluxe version drops on, I think it's July 14th.
Okay. So, and that'll be all four LPs from volume one and two.
Yeah, it's different album covers, different vinyl colors. You get a poster, you get collector's cards inside each edition. So, it's a really nice package. You can pre-order that pretty much most places. And it'll be here before you know it. And then, you know, who knows what season two will bring.
Yeah. I can't wait. So we're going to wind it down, man. We've come to the end. And what better way to close a show than with a title track that is finale, because it's the end. I actually read an article not too long ago on Blumhouse.com about the collaboration between Howard Shore, the composer, and David Cronenberg.
Mm.
Because to me, it's one of those, you know, at this point, they've slowly started putting out a good chunk of their collaborations together. Mondo did, a triple feature basically of Crash, The Naked Lunch
and Dead Ringers.
I have to admit, I wasn't familiar with those. It's been a long time. Mm-hmm. I didn't remember the music to those. So getting those now was really cool to get to revisit, the Howard Shore music to all three of those films. Mm-hmm. But my favorite, I think their crowning achievement for both of them, commercially, artistically, is The Fly.
Yes.
I mean, I love this film so much. I love the music to The Fly. And it took me a while. I found an original issue, and unfortunately, it was like I paid like $20 for it, and it had coffee stains all over it. It's like it's the gamble you take when you buy from Discogs, and it also didn't sound very good. It sounded like it had quite a number of spins, so there was a lot of static on it.
Mm.
So I was very excited when Varese Sarabon decided to re-release The Fly on vinyl, which is available now, and it's got kind of like a 3D lenticular cover.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is super cool. It's the famous image, the poster art, but it, you know, it shifts from Jeff Goldblum as Half-Fly coming out of it, and, you know, and then just the pod itself. But this is really great, and I mean, it's The Fly. It's music from The Fly. The reason I picked the finale is because you get a little snippet of almost all the main themes all in one shot. So this is the finale to The Fly. man.
I love The Fly. You know, I love The Fly. I think Christopher Young did a great job on The Fly too.
Yeah.
However, Howard Shore. It's one of those great composer director marriages.
Yeah.
And The Fly is, I think, their crowning achievement. I do truly believe that. And the Varese press is great. You know, the sleeve and the I can't remember what the color's called, but it's kind of green.
Yeah.
With a green tint to it, and it sounds good. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big fan.
Yeah. If you want The Fly, that one is readily available online. You could find it. I think I got it through Soundstage Direct. Or they might even be linked. There might be like a limited edition linked through Varese Sarabande's website. But you could find that pretty regularly. And speaking of finding things regularly, Tony, where can we find you?
You can find me regularly over on the Damn Fine Network, which is available on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, all of your favorite podcast haunts. Two regular shows a week. Obviously, there's Two Dudes Talking, which is yourself and I chatting all things pop culture. And then on alternating weeks, it'll be the Damn Fine Cast, which is a straight soundtrack and related podcast. And then the other week is Cuts from the Crypt, which is a horror soundtrack show.
A lot of good stuff. It's where I usually make my little checklist of new things and old things to hunt for. So if you enjoyed this, please go and check out some of the other great music theme shows that Tony runs on the Damn Fine Network. And as always, thank you for joining us. Thank you to all you guys out there. We will be back with Shockwaves proper in July, but I just wanted to, I thought it'd be fun to check in and do a little music bonus episode. So, thank you guys for listening. Appreciate it.